You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Now, we've been talking about overcoming deception, because deception is rampant in our world today. And we know that Satan is a great deceiver. The book of Revelation says he's the one who deceived the nations. So not just individuals, but whole nations sometimes are deceived by Satan. So let's look at a few of our key scriptures, and then we'll get into the word God has for us today. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, these are the words of Jesus. He identifies Satan as a thief who comes to do what?
Steal, kill,
and what? Destroy. Jesus came to do what?
Give us life.
And what kind of life? That means life to the full. Amen. John 8:44, Jesus reveals something else about the character and nature of Satan. He said, you of your father, the devil, and the lust of your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we find out that not only is Satan a thief, but he's also a murderer and a liar. The Bible says that he abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. And then Jesus revealed himself as the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. So Jesus is the truth. And so when Satan made a decision not to abide in the truth, he basically made a decision not to remain in fellowship with Christ. He made a terrible choice. But thank God for the truth. Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 8:31-32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth will set you free from lies. The truth will make you free from bondage. The truth will set you free from sickness and disease, poverty and lack, depression, fear, worry, all kinds of things. When you find out the truth, the word of God, and thy word is truth, Jesus said in John 17:17. Thy word is truth. When you know the truth, I mean, when you have an intimate knowledge of the truth and the will of God, truth is the will of God. When you know that, then it frees you from the bondages and the lies of Satan so that he can't steal, kill, and destroy from you once you know the truth. Satan has either keep you ignorant or, after you've known the truth, deceive you away from the truth. The word to deceive means to cause to stray, to lead astray, to lead away from the right way, to go astray, to wander, to roam about, to lead away from the truth, to lead into error, to deceive, to be led into error, to be led aside from the path of virtue, to go astray, to sever or to fall away from the truth, to be led away into error or into sin. So Satan is always working in your life and mine. He has a strategy. You can believe this. I'm going to tell you, and you can take this to the bank. He has a strategy working right now to deceive you in some area of your life. Because the truth is, if he can't deceive you, he can't steal, kill, and destroy from you. You see, the Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. That means he can't devour everybody. He's looking for people that he can devour, and those people that he can devour are those that are ignorant of the truth and those that he can seduce away from the truth. Amen. He has to do that, but I thank God that you have a choice in the matter. Amen? You can choose life or blessing or death. You can choose life or death, blessing or cursing. We know from these scriptures that Jesus is the truth. He's the master of honesty, integrity, and faithfulness. There's no darkness in him, no hypocrisy in him, no trickery in him. There's no deceit in Jesus. He is 100% truth. He is pure truth. He is truth personified. On the other hand, Satan is a liar. He's a master deceiver and manipulator. He's full of trickery, seduction, and deceit. When he speaks a lie. Let me tell you, he will lie to you about everything. He lies every single day. There's nothing that he won't lie about. He is a liar, and he lies about everything. He hates the truth, and he doesn't want to see you walking in the truth. These scriptures, taken together, reveal to us the simplicity and the basic foundation of all living. That living your life will come down to a series of choices and decisions that you make regarding what you believe. God has given you the ability to choose your path in life. Nobody can make you believe something. But believing is an act of the will. You choose to believe. Amen. And I thank God that if you don't choose death, then you don't have to receive it. If you don't choose the curse, you don't have to have it. You have to choose these things for these things to work in your life. And so we've seen over the last 8 weeks, and this is the 9th lesson on this, how Satan will try to work in every area. Last week we talked about the deceitfulness of riches and how Satan weaves a deception in wealth that locks people in pursuing the things of this world, and yet in the end, their soul is damned. There's the wealth of the wicked and the wealth of the righteous, and they're on two different roads. Amen? But we're not talking about that today. Guess what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about the deception regarding church. Church is not important. True or false? Yet there's so many people that are deceived when it comes down to having a right relationship with the local church. Let me tell you some of the lies that Satan will tell you in this area. because he will lie to you. And you'll have to know the truth, because if you don't know the truth in this area, let me tell you something. If you don't get connected right and have a proper relationship with the local church, then the chances are very high that you're going to die not fulfilling the will of God. You're not going to fulfill the will of God. If you think church is not important, you're not going to do the will of God, and you might not make it into heaven. Jesus said his true kinfolks are those that do the will of God. See, when you look at Jesus teaching, you study real close, he was really concerned and really had a heart for people that are he that doeth the will of God, he that doeth the will of God, he that doeth the will of God. And if you miss the will of God in a major, that in something that God calls a major and you call it a minor, then you could miss the will of God. You could be deceived right out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. How many of you know the devil can deceive you away from Jesus? I've heard of Christians converting to Muslim. Oh, I used to be a Christian. I'm Muslim now. What happened? How'd they go from being, having the truth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and now they Muslim? How can that be? They got seduced right away from the truth into a lie. That's what deception is. It's when Satan gives you enough facts and information that you believe a lie. That's what deception is. It's believing something that ain't true. Now, listen at these lies that Satan will do right here. The church of today is irrelevant, powerless, and a waste of time, and not deserving of a high place of priority in your life. That's a lie. Yeah. First of all, the church is very relevant. Church is not a waste of time. Church is not powerless. Church is deserving of a high place of priority in your life. You see, Satan will get you to buy off on all this and say that it's not relevant. How can the church not be relevant when Jesus is the head of it? What are you telling me about Jesus when you say that? That he's irrelevant? He's not relevant to today? Here's another lie. Being a faithful member of a local church is not important. Faithfulness and consistency don't even matter. That's a lie. I know that I'm going to do some shearing this morning. Sheep don't like to be sheared. But a good shepherd will shear the sheep when they need a good shearing. Amen. Amen. I mean, the Lord shear me all the time. Amen. Amen. Now, you're in church this morning, so a lot of this may not even apply to you. But I will guarantee you that you have people in your circle that have these ideas, these mindsets, and this philosophy on life that I'm sharing with you this morning. And they don't even know they're deceived. A lot of them are self-deceived, which is the worst kind of deception, is when you deceive yourself. Satan can walk off away from you and just let you do his work. It's bad to be deceived when you don't know the truth. Deceived means that you've believed a lie. Here's another lie. Consistent attendance to a local church is optional. I can stay at home, pray, read, worship God. I don't need to go to no church. Is that the truth? If that was true, then let's just all stay at home. Let me just miss 2 Sundays out of the month. What would y'all do if I didn't come? What if you came and 2 or 3 times a month, you know, because we have Wednesday nights, so 2 or 3 times a month I say, you know, I'm just going to stay home tonight. I'm going to rest. I'll guarantee you most of y'all will find another church, because you would not accept that kind of commitment out of me. But y'all want me to accept that kind of commitment out of you? You want me to accept that from you, but you won't accept that out of me? Well, you got a call. Everybody call. If you're in the body of Christ, you got a call. My calling ain't no more special than yours. Yeah, but Pastor, you call to do that. No, but you call to serve. You're in the body. You're also called. The Bible says you have been called of God, called in the fellowship with his son Jesus. Everybody called. Your assignment is just as important as mine. Would you accept that from me? What did he say? Where Pastor at this morning? He just didn't feel like coming. Or he wanted to go fishing today. Pastor had to go out of town. He'd get some shopping done. Pastor stayed at home to paint his house today. You know, he got, you know, Pastor moved some new furniture in his house. Pastor got a new car. He testing it out today. Pastor was tired this morning. He just was tired, y'all. But he tired 2-3 times a month, so y'all just get used to it. 2-3 times a month, he's just not going to show up. Wonder how many of y'all would stay at church, come to church, pastor ain't here, and you say, why he ain't here? He didn't feel like coming this morning. We'd have a whole church full of people that didn't show up. If this is true, then let's don't nobody go to church. If we can base our life on this, if this is solid, if this is the truth, and it's endorsed by God, let's just close all the churches down, and don't nobody go to church, and let's just all do the will of God on our own. If it's the truth, we ought to be able to live by it, right? If it's the truth, it is something that Jesus put his blessing on, right? Would the Lord put his blessing on that kind of attitude? But a lot of people think that he has. Oh, it's all right. The Lord told me it was all right for me to stay home, read my Bible, pray and worship. You know, I get just as much staying at home. You should do all these things in your home, but you should not forsake the assembling of yourself together. All right, I ain't gonna expect a lot of amens out of today. You understand? I can preach till you're quiet. Listen at this lie. I can serve God without being a member of a local church. And I can get fed the word of God by watching ministries on TV, DVD, the internet, and by listening to CDs. That true for a lie? It's a lie. How about this one here? Church is full of hypocrites. That's why I don't go. All right, is that true? Is that a true statement? Are there hypocrites among us? Probably so. A hypocrite means an actor or a pretender. They probably got some people pretending. Yeah, but is that any reason for you not to make a commitment? That ain't none of your business how many hypocrites in the church. That's the Lord's business. Amen. In fact, he said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. He said, I'll do the separation at the end. So in every church, you probably got some tares among the wheat. And the Lord said, let them grow together. But the tares are the deceived ones because they are not doers of the word. They just come and listen. They do it to make their conscience feel good. Well, you know, I go to church every Sunday. How much of the word you're putting in practice? Well, you know, I don't really live by nothing. I don't listen. You know, preach it all that. It don't mean nothing what he's saying to me. You know, I got my way. I do things. Don't mean nothing to me. See, that's a tear. They're not going to commit. They're not going to be faithful. They'll come to church. Some of them even give, but when it comes to really putting a hand to the plow, no, don't count me in on nothing. No, they're non-committal. Oh, no, I just can't commit to nothing. I just want to go to church on Sunday, hear a word, go home. How about this? All the church wants is my money. All the church wants is my money. There might be some churches out there that's like that, but this ain't one of them. I'll tell you this, here, be a tither. If you don't want tithe here, you sow your tithe somewhere else. Go join another church. But you need to be a tither. I'm not asking you to do something I'm not doing. But a lot of people, see, Satan would put all kind of stumbling blocks. Why? You don't need to be involved in church. All they're going to talk about is your money down there. Well, you wouldn't like being with Jesus. You know, Jesus talked to a guy about his money. He said, Lord, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments. You don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't bear false witness, don't commit adultery, you know, honor your mother and your father. All these things have I done from my youth up. Jesus said, yet lackest thou one thing. Go and sell what you got. Talking about his money. Oh, Jesus talked to him about money. And the Bible says that he left Jesus. Jesus said, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, come follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. And he left Jesus, the Bible said, greatly sorrowful, greatly grieved, because he had great possessions. Or another translation say, because he was very rich. He didn't want to part with his money. So he said, no, thank you. Now, he had money, but there's people that ain't got no money. Can't change a quarter and won't go because the preacher wants your money. What money are you talking about? What money? All the preachers want my money. You ain't got none. You need to go to church so the pastor can help you to get in the will of God so you'll change your poverty situation. You already can't change a quarter into my, all he wants is my money. You need to give that little bit you got. Sow a seed. Let God bless you. All right, now this is a big one right here now. All right. Let me put the shield of faith up. Let me tell you, I got the shield of faith surrounding me. You can throw the fiery darts if you want them. But they're going to hit and bounce. You're going to fall on the floor. Some people don't want to submit to a spiritual authority.
Amen.
No preacher going to tell me what to do. I ain't got to listen to no preacher. You think there is? I got to submit to nobody but God. Oh, that's a big one. People don't want, they don't want to be involved. They don't want to come to church because they don't want nobody to tell them how to live. But if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to learn how to submit to spiritual authority. I'm going to show you why in just a few minutes here. Listen, Satan has been very successful at giving people the wrong perception of church and blinding the children of God to the true value and power of being in a local church that is being built by Jesus Christ. Now, what is the church and how does God build it? That's what we're going to talk about here. The church is not a building or a denomination. The church is an assembly of called out ones that gather together who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for the purpose of doing and establishing the will of God in the earth. So the church, in its basic form, is people. It is people who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, surrendered.
Surrender.
Yeah, surrendered. Surrendered. So everybody say, surrender.
Surrender.
What does surrender mean? It means to give up, right? It means to not offer resistance anymore. When I surrender, I give up, that means I'm not going to resist. That means I'm going to yield my way, right? So when you surrender to God, when you got saved, you gave your life up. You put your life in his hands, and you said, Lord, you are now the manager of my life. It's no longer about what I want. It's about your will. Now, the universal church is everybody in the whole world that's Christians. But you'll see that in God's plan, God established local churches for the purpose of assembling his people together to do his divine will. Now, I'm going to show this to you here in the scripture because I want you to know the truth. And I want you to be able to speak to people accurately when they say, well, I don't need no church. I got Jesus. All I need is Jesus. All you need for salvation is Jesus. But if you're going to do the will of God, you're going to need some other people in your life because nobody does the will of God by themselves. Not even Jesus came here attempting that. Jesus found him 12 men that he got close quarters with for the purpose of training them for ministry, to help him do the will of God. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Every believer is a member of the universal church, and every believer should be a part of a local assembly of believers. The church belongs to God, not man. The church is not a man-made organization. I don't own this church. You understand? The church belongs to God. All I am is an under-shepherd. Amen. I've been set in this office of a pastor by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. The church belongs to God, not man. Jesus is the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ and is subject to Christ. The Bible says as a wife should be submitted to her husband, as the church is submitted to Christ. So if you're a part of the church, then that means that you are submitted to Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, yo, you submitted to Jesus. I know. You're supposed to be submitted to Jesus. When you gave your life to Christ, you were baptized into his body. Your life is not your own anymore because you now belong to Christ and should be living your life to his glory and for pleasing him. Now, in Acts 20:28, let me give you some scriptures here. Listen to these scriptures. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Now, Paul is talking to the elders, people that have been set in authority in the local church. He said, take heed to yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood. Whose church is it? God's church. And these elders were saying, now look, take heed to yourself. That means make sure you're living right yourself before you try to feed the church. Take heed to yourself and to over all the flock. So as a pastor, I have to take heed to me. That means I have to make sure that I'm doing the right thing, that I'm living right, that I'm practicing the word, that I'm being a good pattern for you to pattern your life after. Yes. And then I'm supposed to look after the church. Now, here, the Holy Ghost called the church the flock of God. Listen at this. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. So, who made the overseers? The Holy Ghost set overseers in the church. Right? And as an overseer, one of his assignments, not the only assignment, but one of them is to feed the church of God. Amen. To feed the church of God. All right, so overseers are given the responsibility of feeding the church. That means feeding the individual members of Christ's body. So if you cut this part off, then there's a supply that you're going to be lacking. Because there's a supply that come from the leadership that God established that you can't get no other way. I've heard people say, well, it's just me and Jesus. If the Lord got something to tell me, he'll just tell me directly. God don't